People who indulge in song and music are drawn towards fahsha, toward munkar, and towards baghu. And thence has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram for all true believers. Now I am not saying, do understand me, that the words fahsha and munkar and baghu are restricted to music and song. No, they include all the things that are fahsha, that are munkar, and that are baghu, as I described earlier. But we are singling out music and song, for we are at this moment discussing in particular the aspect of music and song and the destruction it wreaks upon humanity. Muslims in particular, I am worried about, because these figures include a good percentage of Muslims, and we who deal with the social problems that exist within the Muslim Ummah know that amongst us and amongst our fold there exists a tremendous problem of rapes, of sodomy, and even incest. Let's continue. Man comprises of three distinctive command centers which dominate and control him within a human body. Every man, every woman. Within them there are three command centers. Three centers which are sent out, three command centers that are sent out, and they dominate and control him. It is only through iman, through true amal, and through ikhlas, which is sincerity, and through taqwa, which is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these three command centers that send out signals throughout the body are brought under control and under supervision. And this is by, and only when they completely submit themselves to the will and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and willing surrender to the ways and teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If these three command centers, which are within the human body, are not brought under strict control, supervision and discipline, then the person is headed for very big trouble. Now what I am discussing here and talking to you about here is the mental, the spiritual and the faithful major command control center of the body. Iman, which mind, spirit and faith has accepted with absolute conviction. If your mind, your intellect, your brain, if your thinking power has not accepted iman, la ilaha illallah, and Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, absolutely and completely without even the slightest doubt, no doubt at all, Allah is one, I worship none but only one Allah, I prostrate to none but only one Allah, I believe and depend and rely and trust none other but only one Allah. If that is not completely and truly in your blood, that you have absolutely accepted this order, emotionally, spiritually, physically, every way, if you have not accepted this, and if your iman is not absolute and certain that I have none other and will follow none other and no other example except that of the Sunnah Mubarak of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will follow him and I will die for him, I live for him and I will live exactly as he lived and do the things that he has taught me to do in the way he has taught me to do. If you are not absolutely convinced in Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are in very big trouble. And how many of us can claim that our iman has reached that extent and that conviction and that confirmation? Unless we have that, we are headed for big trouble. Unless our submission to the will, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not complete and absolute, we are in dangerous trouble. These three command centers that we are talking about then begin to regulate the body and the mind of the person, and they drive him on and they drive her further on towards the edge of life. Song and music are amongst the most destructive elements that liberate and release man from the bonds of slavery and service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in turn seeks to free man from the chains of his animal instincts, passions and desires, and to grant him success in this world and in the hereafter. Only when you accept, I am a slave, I am a ghulam I am an absolute slave. I'm in chains. I'm tied in this world. I'm a prisoner. Unless you accept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, unless you are but absolutely convinced and you admit and you confirm, I'm a slave, a true slave and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not do anything which displeases my maker and my creator, Allah. I will not do anything which displeases and dismays my Rasul, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unless you do so, then these three command centers that are within the human body, within every human male and female, then you're going to be headed for trouble. That is why iman is so important. Then that animal instinct that is within man, that will reign supreme and it will destroy his life. And of course the afterlife as well. Now the three command centers we are talking about of the human species and the human body are the following. I'm going to name them to you without much elaboration. We do not want to get too philosophical about this matter. What I've brought it out since we thought about and caused by music and song. And I'm doing this for those of the intellectuals amongst us that have the preconceived and wrong notion that the ulama of Islam know nothing about matters deep. It is only for them that I say this so that they may know that there is no category of Muslim that or for whom music and song is allowed. Sometimes they feel that we are so intellectual, so well educated, that a certain amount of tolerance and allowance can be given and granted to them, for they are above the ordinary man. For them I wish to say that the three command centers of the human species and the body are as follows. Firstly, within the human body there is what we call the quwa bahimiya shahwaniya, and this quwa bahimiya shahwaniya is man's bestial carnal urge. That's the animal in man. Briefly, that's what we call the animal in man. You have seen people behaving like this. I see it all the time. Strange how people can reduce themselves when they are under the influence, for example. The things you can see a 60, 70, 80 year old man and woman doing when they are under the influence is unbelievable. Unbelievable. You talk about animals, no, they are even lower than the beasts in their behavior, in their obscene way of life, in their obscene talk, filthy mouths, their utterances. That is known as the quwa bahimiya shahwaniya, man's bestial carnal urge. That is within man, which I call man's animal urge. Then the second thing that is a command center within man, these are set up, they like headquarters, little offices within man. Each one is manned by an entire staff, you know, secretary and treasurer and all that is, the whole executive, each one has got its own. And they are urging man on. For example, this quwa bahimiya shahwaniya, man's bestial carnal urge, the whole office, that whole department, all the soldiers that are in there, and they are under the command of shaitan, obviously, because we are discussing shaitan's plan for man. They are ordained, they occupy the shadow portions of the mind and the imagination of man, and they are urging man to become a beast, to become an animal, to behave as one. Then the second office or department, a command center set up within the body of man, is known as quwa wahmiya shaitaniya, and this is man's imaginative satanic urge. Man's imaginative satanic urge, man's imagination. Shaitan forges a link with man's imagination and he uses that to encourage man to do the things that Shaitan urges him towards, to behave in an evil, obscene, preposterous, unhuman, undignified manner. The third department or the third command center within the body of each man and woman is the quwa ghasbiya sabu'iya. This is man's tyrannical, predatory urge. Man is by nature a predator. He likes to predate on others, to live on others. Man's tyrannical, predatory urge, quwa غصبية سبوعية. Man is endowed with these three natures or urges, and he must exercise control over them, or they will influence and control him. And if these three get together, and these three powerful urges or natures or dispositions within man, if they get hold of you, brother, and they captivate you with the power of mind and the power of imagination and the power of the predatory urge, animal urge within man, then I can tell you, you can sign up your death warrant, for it is almost over for you. They're going to drive you to the edge and to the brink of defeat. It is by overcoming these urges that are within human nature and by disciplining and training them through submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that man becomes free of the hazards and the pitfalls of life. Brothers, it is very well going into the afterlife. It is very well enjoying the comfort and the glory of the qabr. But it is not easy. There is so much comfort in that qabr for those who live in obedience to Allah and His Rasul. There is so much noor, so much barakah. There is such a tremendous, fascinating place that the qabr will become. That little window that opens up through which you can see your abode in Jannah, and the fragrance and the wafts from the orchards of Jannah that come through that little cubicle into your qabr, and the angels that come in there to accompany you, and the presents and gifts that is brought to you from Jannah into that qabr of yours. The bouquets and the fragrance alone, subhanallah, subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, what can I tell you? But at the same time, if you have not got control over these bestial, animal, imaginative, satanic and tyrannical predatory urges, if you have not conquered the self within you, then you can write yourself off. We are here and we have a fight with ourselves. We've got to overcome ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majeed has told us how, and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us how. He was a human being, and as a human being he has told us to overcome self and to overcome the shaitan that is within us. There is a way, a simple formula. Ati'ullah wa ati'ur Rasul. Build up that iman, have strong conviction and faith in Allah and His Rasul, and you will win. Alternatively, how will that qabr be if you have failed? I don't want to describe it. It is too agonizing to describe the other side of the picture. That is qabr. What about after qabr? What about hashr? What happens there? What is going to happen on the day of judgment, where one day is equivalent to 50,000 years on earth? What is going to happen in the hereafter if we have failed to succeed over ourselves and the weakness that is? If we have invited ourselves in this world to follow shaitan and man's animal urges, what have we done to ourselves? We have destroyed ourselves with our own hands. It is of our own making and of our own choice to discipline and to control man's bestial carnal instincts and urges. Man has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep away from fahsha. Here it is in the Quran. Keep away from fahsha. All indecencies. Man's base, bestial, carnal urges make him desire the sensual, the sensuous, and the lustful. Man develops a passionate appetite and succumbs easily to temptations. To bring man's imaginative, satanic urge under control, he has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to refrain from all munkar, all abominable acts. Shaitan enters the mind of man and he places therein surmises, guesses, conjectures, delusions, false doctrines, heretical opinions, and he tries to destabilize man in this way. So all fahsha is forbidden and haram. All munkar is also totally forbidden for Muslims. What I'm saying here, brothers, is very important for you to understand, that when man gets into man's mind, when Shaitan gets into man's mind, he paints a very, very vivid picture of the temptations and the excitements of sensuous things. And then if man is caught up and enslaved by these thoughts and he commits those abominable acts, then he is writing himself off. Also that Shaitan comes into the imagination of man and suggests to him that people like Maulana is talking about, and that alim is talking about Imam Mahdi, he is talking about signs of Qiyamah, he is talking about Qabr. What does he know? Has he been inside the Qabr? Has he seen the Qabr? Shaitan will come to you afterwards when you go home now, and he will come and tell you that you heard, but how does Maulana know that a window will be opened up, a cubicle, a doorway will be opened up into Jannah, and that the fragrance of the wonderful orchards of Jannah will flow in and come in into that cover? How does he know that the malaikas will come in into that cover, bringing bouquets and flowers and gifts and presents from Jannah? How does he know all these things? Has he been inside that cover? Has any man been inside that cover? This is just one example I'm giving you. And Shaitan will create doubts within you. That is also a method and a way whereby Shaitan urges people away from truth, from haqq. And he lowers your iman and he reduces your iman through all the complicated opinions, heretical opinions that he offers in your mind. All these various and thousands of other ways Shaitan opts in order to destroy especially the Muslims. To discipline man's tyrannical, predatory urge whereby he seeks to usurp the rights of others through illegal seizure and extortion and coercion or compulsion, like a beast or predatory animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded man to keep away from baghd, all unjust acts towards fellow man. Covetousness and greed causes man to dishonor the life, the property and the honor of others. And communities and nations are torn apart and oppressed by stronger, greedy ones who have not obtained release from their tyrannical, predatory, exploitive natures. I have already mentioned the fact that song and music and games have a devastating effect on people and make them act irrationally and unsubmissively. It leads people to defy, to violate, to rebel, to revolt, to become unruly, riotous, insubordinate and impatient. That is what music does to people. These are all disasters and forms of rebellion with which we have become accustomed. The outbreak of violence and sedition and lawlessness in the world of song and music, dance and games is well known to all and sundry. You will find it in the daily media. It is the great curse of our time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all and our children from this curse of music and song and dance and games. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The last chapter, the last part on what we have been doing so far in music and dance and so on. There are a few things I found which I felt was important to bring out. And after that we'll carry on again, inshallah. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله all thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker Allah, our creator Allah, our sustainer Allah, and we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our subject, Shaitan's plan for man. Chapter we are doing deals with the methods used by Shaitan in order to have misled and deceived the great leaders, or at least the leaders of Muslims, the rulers and the governors of the Muslims of the past. And not the rulers and the governors, but the writers and the authors and so on, people of the past, poets, and the methods employed by him. We have studied various things, and we were busy for the last 2 weeks on that section which deals with music, with song and dance, and how Shaitan uses these matters in order to deceive the Muslim leaders in particular and Muslim peoples in general. Today I'm going to give you a few quotes to illustrate that. There is a person, a Muslim, by the name of A.H. Sharif. And A.H. Sharif has written a remarkable little booklet which is called Music and Its Effects, meaning its effects on those who listen to it. And in this book, Music and Its Effects, he writes as follows, and I quote, "It has been already described that music is among those things which boost the emotions and arouse the sensual powers beyond their natural limit. Music gives desire or anger the upper hand and makes them dominant over the intellect. This state could reach a stage where intellect ceases to function altogether. Man becomes the slave of his emotions, of desire and or of anger. A time comes that he forgets his creator, meaning Allah, and he does not remember the real aim and object of his life, which is to know his creator and sustainer and to obey him. The love and fear of Allah Ta'ala promotes virtue and good deeds in a person and restrains the person from sins and from evils. Islam aims at producing the best of characters in its followers, and it has therefore forbidden those things which tend to divert the attention of a Muslim from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from man's divine duties and obligations. Music is one of those things which have a toxic effect on the human mind. Therefore, Islam has forbidden not only the playing of music, but also listening to it. And it has also, meaning Islam has also forbidden participation in musical programs, whether it be in places like theaters, nightclubs, and cinemas, or in one's own home." This quotation I have extracted from the book Music and Its Effects by A.H. Sharif from page 14. Now, I'm not going to repeat this quotation, but if you have listened carefully to me, you would have come to the conclusion how clearly the author, the writer, describes the evil of sin and music. In very modern terms, understandable language. Writing on the engrossing, the stupefying, and the numbing quality of song and music, A.H. Sharif writes as follows in his book, Music and Its Effects. A second quotation coming up. And I quote, he says, "Often people are heard to say, but music has so much influence upon our feelings, so why should it be haram? Why should it be forbidden? Music has so much influence upon our feelings, so why should it be forbidden? Why should it be haram? But it is precisely because of music's great influence upon the heart and mind of man that it is forbidden. There would have been no need to ban music if it were without any negative effect. It is an established fact that song, music, and dance have harmful and negative effects physiologically, spiritually, and ethically upon human beings." Unquote. This is from page 31. A.H. Sharif continues, "The answer is that music," I quote, open quote, "the answer is that music does have harmful effects on man's nervous system. It is the cause of many ailments, including ulcer, diabetes, and madness." meaning lunacy. It creates imbalance in human faculties, retards spiritual development, it lowers moral standards, and it reduces ethical values. This is on page 4. This one I'm going to repeat again, because I gave you quotations last week from certain newspapers, extracts, wherein this is precisely what the West is saying. The kuffar, professional people and strategists are saying that music and song and dance is largely responsible for the immorality, the corruption, the depravity, promiscuity, the sin and the evil in which Western peoples are indulging at the moment. The drug problem, all murders, all kinds of crimes of passion, rapes, murders, acts of sodomy, all forms of permissivity, meaning lesbianism, sodomy, all these things, all the gay people that are increasing on the increase, the disease of AIDS, many other sicknesses and diseases, psychosomatic illnesses within society, all of them are largely caused, I would say the chief reason for it being caused, is music and song and dance. And as long as Muslims continue to indulge in these activities, as long as they continue to enjoy music, listen to music, there will be an increase in these ailments and problems and diseases within society. We can march as much as we want to. We can protest and put up placards as much as we want to about our drug problem and about the immorality and corruption, the sin and evil, and the increasing crime rate within Muslim society. It will be no solution. The solution is to get to the bottom of it. And the reason is that music, song and dance are playing such an enormous role. They hold so much value in our lives that unless and until we decide to rid ourselves of this problem, of radios and televisions blaring, of the media staring at us all over with encouragement of all these problems, of all these diseases of music and song and dance existing within Muslim society, we are not going to solve this problem. It will continue to increase. There will be more rapes, more murders, and more problems of these kinds. The quotation was as follows from page 4. The answer is that music does have harmful effects on man's nervous system. In other words, music directly affects the nervous system, which is the electrical system, the life-giving system that operates within the human body. That music is the cause of many ailments, including ulcer and diabetes and madness. It creates imbalance. One only has to go to Falkenberg and other mental institutes like the one in Lentefer to come to know how many Muslims are having this problem, how many are becoming cases for asylums and special places of treatment. How many Muslims there are? Up to 40, 45, 50% plus, up to 60%, they tell me, in Lentefer and elsewhere in these hospitals are to be found Muslims. And they tell me so many of these people, not only children, but grown-ups even, adults, male and female, are coming from Muslim homes and Muslim backgrounds. What has caused all this? You go and visit those homes and you will see the reason. It is a cause of many ailments, including ulcer, diabetes and madness. It creates imbalance in human faculties. It retards spiritual development, lowers moral standards and reduces ethical values. My brother worked for 2 years in Falkenberg Hospital, and he tells me all the Muslim patients that he spoke to there, they have such normal periods. He says there's huffaz, hafiz of Qurans in Falkenberg that he met, and at Lentefer where he spent a year he met. He's met Muslims, professional Muslims in those places. He's met intellectual Muslims in those places. He's met Muslims there that have excellent knowledge. Good Muslims, professionals, with some of them come from very good backgrounds, very good homes, very good families, exceptionally good families. He says he asks them during their periods of normality, when they're completely normal, nothing wrong with them, what is the problem, what has happened? And he says on most occasions they mention the immoral lifestyle. And music and song and dance has often been mentioned that these are the things that they participated without considering it to be a sin. Now, if this is the stage in which Muslims have come to, where they do not consider sin as sin, where they do not consider immorality as immorality, as a matter of fact, where they begin to consider sin as good and evil as good, then we are tainted by many, many imbalances in the human mind. And he says, you can see that for 9/10 of their stay in Falkenberg and in Lettafir, there's nothing wrong with them. They can exist in society. And he says, for 1/10, they become prone to great terror. They can commit murder, they can commit rape, they are completely out of their minds. And this is why they have to be taken out of society. Now you tell me, a person spends 9/10 of his time, of his 24 hours, completely sane and normal. But for 1/10 of his time, he's a danger to society. Because he goes completely off haywire. He's not in control of me. It takes 10-12 people to control him. Now tell me then, what has caused this? I'm not saying that it is only music, song and dance. I'm saying it is the major cause of the corruption of these people's minds and the imbalance that enters into their faculties. And they lose control of themselves and they are a threat to society. If they have a knife in their hand, they're going to attack and stab the first person that comes their way. And if they have any weapon that they can grab, they will kill the first person that comes their way or hurt, harm and injure them. They will not see whether it is his mother, whether it is their father, whether it is their son, whether it is their daughter. They will not care who it is standing in front of them. They completely lose control of themselves for just that 1/10 of their life, and 1/20 of their life they have to be locked away from society. But he says, he tells me, I'm telling you my brother, that when these people start reciting the Quran and start making du'as, there is nobody like them. So good they are. So this is the kind of danger that we are entering and increasing. This is now beside the fact of retarded and physically handicapped children that we are giving birth to and bringing and introducing into society. This is beside the fact that as a result of music and song and dance, the number, increasing number of illegitimate children that are being introduced into the Muslim community. Okay, here it is. You lose control of yourself, and at that moment you commit zina, adultery, fornication, without realizing what you are doing. And that child is prone to many weaknesses. And it is that the kind of children that you find, that they do become professionals, they do become huffaz, they may even become ulamas, they become great and learned people, but due to a certain weakness in them, they are prone to loss of mental control for a short portion of their lives. And as a result, you have destroyed those children of yours, and you have destroyed the whole generation. Let me warn you that in the Qabr, you will continue to turn in your grave and go through great agony and pain in that grave. And in the hereafter, you will go and your flesh will burn in the fires of hell forever and forever, eternally. Is it worth it? One moment of indiscretion coming under the seizure and control of shaitan, and then you lose control of yourself and your life forevermore. Ayat Sharif writes then, he says, a brisk and lively musical program, if accompanied by musical instruments in particular, disturbs the equilibrium of the various human systems. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about pop concerts, to which our children, our wives, our husbands, our fathers, our mothers even go. I've already said, so many so-called Islamic, astaghfirullah, they called it that way. I'm only reading out what is advertised in the newspapers and what is advertised in pamphlets. And of course over the radio and the TV and the media. At enormous cost, they put advertisements in newspapers, in the TV and on radio, announcing Islamic musical programs and concerts. Now this is beside the pop concerts of the kuffar and the jive and the jazz that is by the kuffar. Besides that, Muslims are attending them more and more, and it is on the increase in South Africa because entertainment, particularly musical entertainment, is the easiest way to make money, to make huge profits. Look what Ayat Sharif writes. He says, a brisk and a lively musical program, if it is accompanied by musical instruments in particular, disturbs the equilibrium of the various human systems. Digestion is badly affected. Palpitation of the heart is increased. Blood pressure goes up. And abnormal secretion of hormones leaves a lasting and ill effect on general health. Music stimulates mostly the sympathetic nervous system, and it may create insomnia. Insomnia means lack of sleep. It may cause tempers to flare up. A person becomes short-tempered. And sudden laughter and nonsensical talk are among its probable effects. It may even lead to mania. Mania is a kind of madness. In other words, they have short periods of madness, of lunacy. So, A.H. Sheriff writes, it may even lead to mania, a kind of madness. Such people may be seen to move their hands and their feet in dancing motions and patterns, even when not listening to music. This is on page 7 and page 8. Brothers, I've seen this. I've seen in people, in Muslims, that attend these shows, that they listen to some portion of music and they go into a flutter. In other words, their hands begin to shake, the bodies begin to be in motion. And they move and they patter their hands, or they go along with the music, drumming, beating with their hands, or thumping their leg, and so on, moving in motion. And after the music has ended, you see them, they go on with these motions, almost as if in their mind the music is continuing to play. This is an illness. It is a very serious disease. It is a sign that the man is losing, or the woman is losing, the boy or the girl is losing control of themselves. You tell me, how much control has Shaitan over them? Where is Shaitan going to lead them? So here it is, he has written it, this man has written it so professionally and so well, I have no option but to merely recite from his little book that has been so excellently written. He writes further on page 9 and 10 as follows, and he says, music creates excitement and tension in people. How true this man is writing. Because you and I read every day in the newspaper about the kind of diseases that exist in society. Now what we are looking at, what he's pointing out to, is the cause. Not the symptoms, the cause. He said music creates excitement and tension. Pick up any newspaper at any time, you will see they tell you stress and tension. Too much, there is too much stress and tension in society. You and I think it's due to overwork. Not due to overwork. Not due to overzeal. Nobody has died of hard work. Our parents and our forefathers have worked very, very hard. They've hardly slept. They never died of all the hard work. Hard work is good. It creates a healthy body and a healthy mind. But today we read people are dying of heart attacks all the time. We think that they're dying of all kinds of petty diseases. We read the man is here and tomorrow we hear the man has died. What is the reason? Some of them have hardly do hardly work hard. There appears to be no stress and tension. Imagine a thing like music, which the West and the Kuffar tell us is very soothing to the nerves. Astaghfirullah. They say music and tension, particularly classical music, is very soothing to the nerves. You find the Kuffar, whenever come their home, into their home, they switch on immediately and they listen to classical music. You find our Muslims saying also music is very soothing, very calming. They are not accepting the word of Sayyidina Amina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who says and declares it is haram. They are not listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commands and ordains that it is haram. It is forbidden for you. No. They go after the kuffar professionals who say, and money makers who say, that it is soothing and calming for the nerves. If you are sick, or if you are overworked, if you are in stress and tension, listen to good music, popular music, classical music. It will soothe your mind. It will calm your heart. It will take away your tension and your stress. Astaghfirullah. They are guided by Shaitan. Here, this is what Sheriff writes. He says, music creates excitement and tension. Not only madness and nervous breakdowns, but even ulcers and heart diseases are caused by mental tensions caused by music. It has been mentioned that music releases the hormone adrenaline in abnormal quantities in the human body. Subhanallah. This hormone clots the blood vessels, and this leads to heart attacks. Many of the present day common diseases are the legacy of our so-called civilization, which creates so many undesirable tensions and exhausts the tolerance of our physical and our mental faculties. One of its main causes is music. The diseases caused by such stresses and tensions are diabetes, which we call sugar, rheumatism, and even the birth of deformed and disabled children. Page 9 and page 10. I said this about 2 weeks ago, that the increase in deformed, disabled children, retarded children, physically handicapped children, which is on the increase. More and more I get reports, children born without the palate. Yesterday I heard of how many children are being born without the upper palate. In other words, this the upper top portion here that we've got, which partitions the nose from the mouth, so to say. Many children are born without that or a hole through it. Those children are born to suffer forevermore. Does that mother realize that when she is carrying that child in her womb, her zikr throughout that period is music and song? Every time the mother feels any kind of the child, any kind of tension in her body or anything, she puts on immediately and she looks at a nice video full of music and she puts on the radio to listen to music, because the kuffar say and shaitan says it is very soothing, very calming. It is, you know, it occupies the mind. It is very good. Instead of tilawa, instead of tasbih, instead of zikrullah, instead of the good things, the pious actions, tasbih, zikr, and all the good things, or silence. Look what she is doing. And all that music on any effects is acting and reacting, action and reaction. All the responses that are, she's feeding the child on music and music and music, and so many hours a day. What is going to happen to the child? The child wants to hear Allah. The child wants to hear Haqq. The child wants to hear good things. All the pious attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the child being fed? It is not a dead body within her. It is a living object within her, taking shape, taking form, limbs growing, heart, mind, mental faculties, physical abilities, physical limbs are all growing and taking shape. Instead of feeding it with spiritual material, what is that child being fed with? What kind of child would that mother give birth to? All these deformities we find. Children cannot become Huffaz of Quran because they are weak in the mind. Why are they weak? The music has removed the mental faculty and the ability to grasp and memorize and retain. Music has destroyed the ability, the mental faculty, and the memory capacity of the child. Believe me, this is absolutely true what I tell you. And this is increased, and more mothers are contacting me and other people and saying, look, this is what is happening to our children. Weak children are being born. Children with so many problems. In the first year of the child's life, the mother and father spend all the wealth that they have got together on trying to cure the child, running in and out of clinics and hospitals and specialist doctors. What has it been worth it? And all what we are saying is, engage in good duties and functions and zikrullah and tasbih, morning and evening, all the time when you can, to save the child from deformities and all forms of disablement. Ayat Sharif writes as follows, it is no secret that songs, music and films depend upon sex appeal for their success. And you know the kind of sex appeal that they promote is all haram. You know it, I know it. He writes further, he says, the more sexy a song, the more its sale. The more suggestive a music, the more its market value. And also it is no secret that building the character of children begins from a very tender age. If they are exposed to obscene songs, sexy music and suggestive dances in their childhood, their entire outlook on matters of sex, morality and marriage sanctity will become jaundiced. They will lose the capacity to distinguish between moral and immoral, between modesty and immodesty, between chastity and promiscuity. Some people think that children do not understand these things. Here's a word of warning from the writer. He says, some Muslims, in other words, some people think that children do not understand these things, which you and I will call the finer aspects of life. He writes, he says, such people are wrong, or such parents are wrong. Thus, by listening to songs and seeing song and dance on television, we ruin the moral uprightness and bearing of our children. If we believe that children are given to us by Allah Ta'ala as an amana, as a trust, and that we are responsible to give them such a training and discipline that they become good Muslims and virtuous servants of Allah Ta'ala, then we must abstain from music and from songs, and we must keep them safe from the evil influence of these sinful habits. This, unquote, from, this is from page 22 of the book Music and Its Effects. I mean, I am quoting this to you at some length because, brothers, it is topical, it is relevant, it relates to us directly, each and every one of us. And we must do what is right, brothers, we must do. We may be only a handful, but we have to do things right. Haram is haram. It doesn't mean only food and drink is haram. There are haram habits as well. And indulging, listening to, and enjoying music is haram. It is totally forbidden. Do not indulge in it. Do not allow music in your homes, in our homes. Now I go on to, I'm finished with this book, Music and Its Effects. Now this man, Sheriff, is a Muslim. He has written this. Now, some people may feel that we have a certain amount of bias, or at least we are only quoting a Muslim source because, I mean, alright, it favors the Islamic perspective and the Islamic pronouncement on music and song. I say no. I say I can quote to you hundreds of professional non-Muslim writers and authors who say that music is the worst kind of thing to indulge in. They say it is absolutely the worst thing that mankind has ever created and mankind ever indulges in. That it is causing the decline and the downfall of mankind. They say it, who are kuffar. I'm going to give you one quote only. One person I'm going to take. But you and I know that there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of them that say this, have said it, and are saying it even today. But there's nobody who wants to listen. Shaitan has such a grip over the world, over powerful people of the world and leaders of the world. Such a powerful grip he holds them in. He is so successful in deceiving mankind and misleading mankind today that the work of Haq, that the word of Haq and truth receives scant attention. We Muslims have a lot of work to do. A Christian writer, he is an industrialist American citizen. His name is Henry Ford I. He has died. The founder of the Ford Motor Company in the United States. He has written as follows about the danger of music. I quote, he says, many people have wondered whence come the waves upon waves of musical slush that invade decent homes and set the young people of this generation imitating the drivel of morons. Look at the language that the man uses. Many people have wondered whence come the waves upon waves of musical slush. Immediately he tells you what he thinks of music. He calls it rubbish, dirt, nonsense, folly, foolhardiness. Many people have wondered whence come the waves upon waves of musical slush that invade. Again, look at the appropriate use of the word invade. It's an invasion. It's war. It's a battle. A battle in which people are losing out. Decent homes, and set the young people of this generation imitating the drivel of morons. What he is saying here is anybody who listens to music, participates in music, indulges in music in any way, that person is a moron. And you know who is a moron? A moron is a person who hasn't got any brains, he cannot think, he cannot reason. So who listens to them are people who cannot think for themselves. They are morons, and then he says it's drivel, music is drivel. It is slush, meaning rubbish, it is drivel, meaning nonsense. So word usage is very important. When I give this quote, sometimes I do elaborate on this because we must know these are people who write with thought. In other words, every word is picked and chosen. Popular music, say now we're getting to the bottom of it, to the bottom of the problem, the causative factor. Music is being promoted by a certain group and class of people. It is being done for one reason only, monetary gain they want to make. And we fall for the joke. These are shayateen, and shayateen are projecting this, advertising it and promoting it so that morons may fall for the slush. Popular music is a Jewish monopoly. I'm not saying it. He is a Christian. He's an industrious. He's a multimillionaire. He's a founder of the Ford Motor Corporation. He is writing this. Popular music is a Jewish monopoly. Jazz is a Jewish creation. Rock music, popular music, has followed upon jazz. He says the origin, jazz is a Jewish creation. The mush, look at the use of words again, the mush, the slush, the sly suggestion, the abandoned sensuousness of sliding notes are of Jewish origin. The fluttering music sheets disclose expressions taken directly from the cesspools of modern capitals to be made the daily slang, the thoughtlessly hummed remarks of schoolboys and girls. In this miasma of so-called popular music, which combines weak-mindedness with every suggestion of lewdness, again we find Jews. Well, we have done this in the past, that the major companies of the world are controlled by Jews. They are out for one purpose. Who, prior to the Muslim Ummah, who was supposed to direct man towards La ilaha illallah? The Bani Israel people, the same Jewish people. But they preferred leadership of the world, material world. They preferred money and gain. They preferred dunya over ibadah. They preferred dunya over Allah. They preferred dunya over Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the right. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, he preached amongst them, he pleaded with them, and they realized he was the true prophet. They reckon up till today they know that Muhammadur Rasulullah. Maybe the Christians don't know it as well, but the Jewish peoples know that the true savior of mankind and the true final prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sayyidina Amina, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not get away from it. They know it very well. The Jew knows it better than what the Muslim does. But he has rejected, he has denied, and he has denounced Sayyidina Amina, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And today, all over the world, they are busy getting all the kuffar together, the kuffar nations, the Christians, the Jews, the Christians, the Hindus, the Buddhists, everybody together. And everywhere throughout the Muslim world where the Muslims are being oppressed and denied and killed today, all these abortive attempts, who is behind it? You just look around and try and judge, and you will see who it is. They do not want, because they have financial power, economic power and control over the governments of the world, even Muslim governments. They are using all these material powers in order to suppress haq and truth. They fear the day this Muslim rises, the day Islam gains a foothold in Europe and Asia, and particularly in the United States, Canada, they know it spells doom and the end of time for the Jewish peoples. So they've got to promote this. And I am saying we Muslims are supposed to know this, and yet we fall into the trap through the music that, and here Henry Ford rises in the United States and he says to the world, I mean he's speaking here to the world, to the international human community, and he says, mankind, listen to me, I tell you, beware, these people are running the show, and they are out for one reason, and that is to destroy mankind. Look at the words that he uses. He says, you listen to a song, you listen to the abandoned sensuousness of music notes. The little haze and hoes, the pulling, the kissing actions, the actions of adultery and fornication, the sounds, the mimic of sensuousness that you hear. We Muslims, our children, and we ourselves are supposed to listen to this. What will it do to us? What will it do? What thoughts will it introduce to the mind? My son and my daughter will think nothing of committing adultery or fornication. Because they listen to it, it affects them, and it opens the road to sin and evil and corruption. And you want proof? Go and see. It's happening nearly in every home. In almost every home, in good homes where music and song and maybe even dance is open, you find children coming back and saying, what could I do? It's one of those things that has happened. They come to the imam, they come to the sheikh and say, my daughter is expecting, quickly perform nikah or whatever. Every week practically we are meeting with very many cases of this kind. Look where the cause lies. Am I saying it? Is Henry Ford a Muslim? No. But he has rendered a service to mankind by writing like this and warning mankind. Tell me how many people have taken notice? How many Muslims have taken notice that here is a kafir man saying, beware, for it is destructive. It will destroy you, it will destroy your children. It is absolute nonsense and rubbish. Henry Ford continues to write about the unholiness, the corruption and the rebellion caused by music and song to the minds and health of American citizens in particular, and all other nations in general, and the hold that Jewish interests have on the music industry as follows. And I quote, he says, let me make a nation's songs. He said, a famous Jew said this. He said, who is in the entertainment, he said, let me make, this is what this Jewish leader said. He said, let me make a nation's songs, and I care not who makes the laws. Listen to this. Let me make a nation's songs, and I care not who makes the laws, said one Jew. In this country, Ford writes now, he says, in this country, the Jews have had a very large hand in making both songs and laws to suit themselves. In other days, the people sang as they do now, but not in such doped fashion, nor with such bewildered continuity. They sang because they wished to, not as an uncontrolled habit. Again, I say, mark the usage of the words. He says, look, in the past, people used to sing. Before, the Jews took control of the entertainment industry, of films and music and song and videos. Before they took control, he says, people used to sing. But it was clean songs, nice songs, repertoire about nature and beauty and so on. What do you find today, he says? He says, the music that is played today, the songs that are played today, they produce doped fashion. People become doped by it. Intoxicated. He says, they get into uncontrolled habits. What did I say earlier? They start, the music has gone off, the song has ended, but they're still going on moving the body around. The movement, the hand, the pattering, the feet movement is still going on for minutes and minutes after the music and the song has ended. This is what he is calling it. Yes, brothers, not only amongst the kuffar, it's happening to our children and our grown-ups as well. This is how he writes about the songs and music produced today. Now listen to this, what Henry Ford writes. He says, and I quote, highly suggestive towards pornography, evil and sin. These are some of the phrases that he uses that I'm quoting now. Henry Ford's phrases. I can't give you all the quotations, so I've just extracted some of it from his book. He says, music and song today are highly suggestive, in other words, highly suggestive towards pornography, evil and sin. Music and song today, unwholesomely emotional. Music and song today, more bestial type than the beasts themselves arrive at. Here is a kafir. He's writing, he's saying the quality of music and song today is more bestial, animal, more animalish than the beasts themselves arrive at. He says music and song today is a seductive syncopation. What does this mean? The word he has used is music and song today is a seductive syncopation. Here I describe it to you. Seductive syncopation means that music and song today is an accentuation. They accentuate and they highlight sex and sin with grunts, with sensuous squeals, squeaks, gasps, and feverish notes of music. Are you listening to songs today? And here it is. You hear strange sounds, strange mimics, shouting, gasping, groaning, all these things that you hear in there. What does it lead to? What will it lead to? Pure shaitan, nothing else in there. He writes, he says, music and song today, they possess insensible gradations, sensuous suggestions, romance and eroticism. Song topics become lower and lower until at last they are the dredges of the slimy bottom of the underworld. Allahu Akbar. Look at the use of the words this man uses. And he's a top man. He's a respected tradesman, a professional person. He writes, when it comes to song topics, he says the song topics, the rubbish that these people choose, which you and I and our children so love to listen to, we leave all our work and stand still to listen to that music and that song. He says, he describes it, song topics become lower and lower until at last they are the dredges of the slimy bottom of the underworld. Music is filled with moral filth, with moral poison. It is artificial popularity of songs by constant plugging. It is mere mechanical drumming on the minds of the public. Evil songs are made famous and popular by sheer styles of clothing, movies, and songs. It is always something new to stimulate the flow of money from the popular pocket into the moron music maker's coffers. Two facts about the popular music are known to all, writes Henry Ford. Two facts about the popular song are known to all. First, that for the most part, it is indecent and the most active agent of moral miasma, meaning moral disease, in the country. Or, if not the most active, then neck and neck with the movies, meaning with the films. Second, that the popular song industry is an exclusive Jewish industry. If there is an enemy of mankind, this is what Henry Ford is saying, unquote. This is what he is saying. If there is an enemy of entire mankind, Muslim and non-Muslim, then it is the Jewish peoples. Now, brothers, please understand this. When we say the Jewish peoples, we are not meaning all of them. I want to make that very clear. The Jewish peoples that are in the entertainment industry, that are promoting shaitani music, they are the ones we're talking about. We are not including. There are many good, orthodox, decent Jews. There are. Even though they are kafir, that's in its place. But they live among themselves, they practice the Jewish rites and rituals in their own way, and they do not want to be the enemies of mankind. I'm talking about that particular race and group of peoples that happen to be from the Jews, and those are the people Henry Ford is referring to, who promote music and song to bring down mankind, to reduce mankind, and to make money from mankind. And I am saying, O Muslims, recognize your enemy and do not fall into the deception and the fraud that is perpetrated by that enemy of not only mankind, not only Muslim, but they have been the enemies of human beings throughout time. I quote Henry Ford, the first, and non-Muslim, so I cannot be called biased in any way, writes scathingly, he writes scathingly but accurately about the harmful, corruptive and dangerous influence of song and music on people as follows. And he writes, and I quote, he says, the diabolical cunning with which an unclean atmosphere is created and sustained through all classes of society and by the same influence will not be overlooked by any observer. There is something satanic about music. Look, these are his words. You will find it in his book. He says, the diabolical cunning. Look at the use of the word. Look, he could have just said the cunning of these people. But he doesn't say mere cunning. He used the word diabolical. Now, the master and the father of diabolical cunning is Shaitan. The diabolical cunning with which an unclean atmosphere, look at the use this man makes. He says where music and song is played, the atmosphere, that environment is an impure and an unclean one. We Muslims saying that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. We say in the Quran it is, I've quoted the ayat of the Quran. I quoted three to you and I brought another three ayat of the Quran and I quoted them to you. All in all, six ayat of the Quran I've given you as proof. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it impure, haram, forbidden, shaitanic invention. Then many hadiths I recited wherein Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has forbidden it for Muslimin. How can we then say it is permissible for us? It was forbidden for the Muslims of the past. Here, look at the use of the words, that atmosphere is unclean. He says, it is created and sustained for all classes of society and by the same influence. And it will not be overlooked by any observer. What Henry Ford is saying, you sit back and you think about what he is writing and you will find that it is the truth. You will not fail to miss it if you observe, if you research, if you investigate. Then he is saying, that he says in the promotion and advertising of music and song in the world today, there appears to be calculated with demonic shrewdness, with devilish shrewdness. It looks, he says to him, look, he is a non-Muslim, he says it appears to him that shaitan is behind this whole thing. Allahu Akbar. Here it is, here are his words. About this diabolical cunning and shrewd planning and calculation, he says, there is something satanic about it. It is calculated to demonic shrewdness. Now he adds, he says, ministers, educators, reformers, parents, citizens are amazed at the growth of looseness among the people and they rail at the evil results. They see the evil product and they attack the product. In other words, they see evil in music and they attack the music. They rail at the young people who go in for this eroticism and suggestiveness. They deplore the sexual license, the delinquency, and the infantilism of the younger people. Infantilism means childlike speech patterns. And here you find grown-up people that, you know, that utter these songs, they sing these songs, I love you, I love her, and things. He says, grown-up adult people, sometimes professional people, using words like this. And he says, it doesn't make sense that a grown-up, educated person that has everything is talking about love and romance and the need for sexual license and liberty and promiscuity and immorality in this way. These are words that do not fit a grown-up person. It doesn't fit children as well. But they are humming away certain tunes and certain music that is popular at that particular moment. And he says it makes no sense to him. This is what the word infantilism, which he has used, means. He says, here it is, they deplore, you know, these ministers and social leaders and so on, they deplore the sexual license, the delinquency and the infantilism of the younger people. The retarded anatomical, physiological and psychological development in adults. But listen to this, what he writes. In the last sentence he writes, he says, but all this has a source. Why do you not attack the source? Why not attack the source? He ends this article and this book with this word. And you know he's given it. Extracts that I've quoted to you are from the book by Henry Ford the First or Henry Ford Senior, called The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem, by Henry Ford the First Senior. Pages, I've quoted extracts to you from pages 144 to pages 152. This book has been unbanned in South Africa. It is available for a few rands if you can afford it. I've given you very few quotations. Read this book. Let it be a must. The International Jew, The World's Foremost Problem, by Henry Ford Sr. Get it. I now bring to your notice some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regard to the signs of Qiyamah, with the emphasis on the role song and music will play in the damage and destruction of the Ummah. My purpose for doing so is to outline to you the great harm caused by these evils in our homes, both to ourselves and to our children. My purpose for doing so is to outline to you the great harm caused by these evils in our homes, both to ourselves and to our children. We must learn to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we must obey the teachings of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we wish to save ourselves and our children and progeny from the burning fires of Jahannam. Songs and music are very great dangers indeed, as has been clearly highlighted for you, and as has been shown in the illustrations above. And then I continue with some ahadith to round off this particular section. Brothers, inshallah, next week we will start off with ahadith, and then we'll go on to the next chapter. And the next chapter that we are going to deals with the rulers and the governors of Islam, the kings, rulers of Islam, how shaitan, since the birth of Islam, and after the birth of Islam, when the period of corruption and decline came into the Muslim governments, how they were used by shaitan and deceived by shaitan, inshallah. Jazakumullah wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Last salli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, all thanks and all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker Allah, our creator Allah, our sustainer Allah. We also send darood and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The month of the Islamic calendar called Jamadil Ula or Jamadil Awwal has commenced. You will notice the speed with which the year 1413 after the Hijrah is progressing. We also know that it appears that it was only yesterday that the year 1992 started, and we're already towards the end of this year. One of the days it will be 1993. We are also aware of the rapidity of events taking place throughout the world. From second to second, the world is informed through the media about the various happenings, situations that are taking place in the world. All this would make it appear to us that the world, planet Earth, is a very small, a very tiny place in this globe of ours. Man would have thought that he lives in a very vast planet which stretches for thousands of kilometers from east to west, north to south. But if you sit at any one single spot on this world, you can obtain information about what is going on throughout this vast globe within seconds. It is in this manner we should understand this world and its importance. To us, it may appear that this world is a very important place. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this world holds no significance at all whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will eventually destroy this world and all the contents of this world, because they are purely material. It is only the spiritual that will survive. Man is composed of two components, basically. One is the human body, and the other is the driving force of this human body, which is the ruh. A motor car, a vehicle, would be useless if it were not given charge through a battery. So it is the power that is derived from the battery that makes the car operate. Petrol is of little significance when compared. The petrol, no matter even if you have a tank full, would be useless if you do not have a full battery, fully charged battery, to move the car. This applies in general to all other vehicles, whether it is nuclear driven or driven by any other way, electrically driven or solar driven, whatever. But there must be the motivational force that moves things. So the human body consists of the flesh and bones, the physical structure, the earthly structure, the material structure, and then it has a ruh. Now, it is the ruh we must consider. This ruh that we have within us, what is it composed of? What are its elements? What are its constituents? We have been asked not to describe or to discuss in depth the structure and the function of the ruh. That is not what I'm busy doing. What I'm telling you now, in our lesson on Shaitan's plan for man, in this particular section, chapter that we are dealing with now, wherein we discussed those command centers that are contained within man, which compel the nafs and drive the nafs of man towards and to incline towards evil and sin.